Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
Yesterday, we discussed the Ag Labor Reform Bill with the American Farm Bureau Federation. We heard about their concerns concerning the bill and why they have not joined with hundreds of other ag groups in support of it. They have questions and concerns about the E-Verify process and some things like that. And we've heard other, even though the bill has bipartisan support, which usually is a signal that it's going to do well or have a chance to do well, we've now heard others critical of it, saying that it's amnesty, and that usually derails these types of efforts when it comes to anything immigration-related. And we've heard others critical of it as well. But, as I said, there's like 300 ag groups supporting it, including the National Milk Producers Federation, and their Vice President of Government Relations, Paul Bleiberg, joins us now to talk about it. Paul, thank you for being with us. This is obviously a critical issue for agriculture in general, the dairy industry in particular. Why are you supportive of this bill?
Well, thanks for having me, as always, Mike. We are supportive in a nutshell because the bill includes provisions that aim to address our two primary goals in the ag labor space. One is obviously reforming the current H-2A program so that dairy can use it. Obviously, right now, we have no access to that program, and the provisions of this bill begin to get us into the program. Obviously, the year-round component of that program under the bill is capped, but that cap is able to rise over time and eventually goes away, and that's a very important source of labor for us. And secondly, the bill also has provisions to legalize our current workforce, and that's also a critically important issue for us, given the reliance of the the dairy industry on existing workers. And I think we would say to the specifics, you know, is the bill absolutely perfect? No, it can be improved as it goes forward. But, the issue is so vital for us that I think we feel it's a process and it's important to be at the table during that process and working to get a bill going forward in the House. And I think it's important to note that the House has never passed an ag labor bill under Democratic or Republican control in the entire time that I've been working on this issue and many others have been working on it. You know, the Senate moved a bipartisan ag labor, broader immigration bill with an ag labor component back in 2013, but we've not seen a bill move through the House and get passed off the House floor. So it's a very big deal in our view to have that step take place, which is why we're so eager to be part of the process.
Farm Bureau says the bill does not provide farms enough relief from H-2A wage rates. Also, they don't like a provision that would allow workers to challenge employers in federal court. They don't like the use of E-Verify necessarily as a way to go here. How do you look at those concerns?
Well, I guess I'd say, you know, the bill's a work in progress. You know, it's going to continue to evolve as it goes through over to the Senate and things like that. On the wage issue, I think it's important to note there are some positive provisions in the bill. On the wage front, wages are frozen for 2020 if the bill were enacted in 2019, and then the increases are capped, and the increases, I think, 3.25% or 4.25% increase per year, depending on the circumstances. And that's a much lower possible increase than we've been seeing in many states. And so there are provisions to provide some wage certainty. I understand some folks feel that maybe it doesn't go far enough, but I think relative to what's there now, some of those provisions are in fact very helpful and will provide certainty. So I think, again, our view is let's get the bill going, just like our view was in the last Congress with the Goodlatte legislation. It may not be a perfect starting point, but it's the vehicle, right? The Goodlatte bill was the vehicle in the last Congress, you know, with Goodlatte being the chairman at the time of the Judiciary Committee, and the Lofgren-Newhouse bill is the vehicle in this Congress. And given that it does, by and large, include provisions to address our two major priorities, we feel it's very important to get the bill moving and continue to improve it as we go.
The House Judiciary Committee's top Republican is Doug Collins from Georgia, who's very much involved in the impeachment proceedings right now as well. But he said this measure, he called it a massive amnesty bill. And usually when you use the word amnesty in anything immigration related, it kind of derails everything. That's what we've seen in the last several attempts to get anything done. Do you see this bill in any way as an amnesty bill?
No, I think it's important to note about the Title I provisions, and by Title I, I'm referring to the legalization of current workers and giving them the ability to apply for legal permanent resident status, that the requirements under Title I are an earned requirement. You have to work in agriculture for a certain amount of time. You have to show that you've worked in agriculture for a certain amount of time previously. So it's not an across-the-board blanket, set up there. It does require a commitment to the ag sector for certain amounts of time. So we view it as an earned status, and we think that's an important distinction to make.
We're talking with Paul Bleiberg, Vice President of Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul, when this was first introduced, I was very excited, one, that it had bipartisan support, and two, because I thought, here's finally an effort to say, if we can't solve the whole immigration issue, let's at least work on a specific area of need and try to get something done on that. And that's why I was so hopeful for this. What do you see now as the chances is moving through? Not only because of the criticism and the concerns we've just I've talked about that have been raised by Farm Bureau and some members of Congress, but also now just the crowded calendar for Congress and the other big issues they're trying to get done here before the end of the year. What do you see as the chances? What's the path forward for this?
Well, I think our hope is that the bill comes to the floor yet this month. We don't know exactly when it's going to come to the floor. We've heard, you know, positive signals that it could, and, you know, if it doesn't, perhaps it comes up early in the new year. To your point, there's a number of things that have to get done at the end of the year here, as is always the case, so we don't know exactly on the calendar, but I think our hope is that sooner rather than later, the bill moves through the House off the floor with a certain amount of bipartisan support, and then that may kickstart a process in the Senate. Not that the Senate necessarily would take the exact bill from the House. I don't think we expect one chamber to just grab the other's bill, but that the Senate might begin a similar kind of bipartisan discussion process around this issue. And I think that only really happens if the House gets their bill through.
So even best case scenario, this has a ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, this issue isn't getting resolved for good this month. You know, the House might pass the bill this month, but it's not becoming law yet. There's still a lot of work to be done in the Senate, which goes back to my earlier comments about this being a process. You know, and nobody should be treating this bill like a final bill that's about to become law. It's a step in a longer process, which is how we tend to look at all bills that are moving through. And so I think it's important just to make that note that, you know, we're hopeful for House action as soon as possible. The reason we want that is to give as much time for the Senate to act as they can have.
The dairy industry is certainly not the only segment of agriculture that's impacted by this, but it's one of the main ones. Describe for our listeners why this is such a critical issue and why what we have now, the system in place right now, is not working.
Sure. Well, you know, we did a survey several years ago where we determined that probably roughly half of all dairy farm labor in the country is immigrant workforce, and so I think that just underscores the significance of this issue for us. And again, as I noted earlier, the H-2A guest worker program that exists today does not allow year-round workers to come into the program and receive visas under that program. It's a seasonal program only, and in the dairy industry, as everybody knows, cows are milked every day of the year. We don't have seasonal workers, and so not being able to use the current program as well as having a large, you know, existing workforce, those two problems together make resolving this issue, you know, uniquely important for us. I think there are a lot of segments of agriculture, as you said, that care about getting a solution to this in one manner or another, but given that we can't use the current program at all, I think the problem is even more significant for us.
And unlike, say, maybe fruits, vegetables, where it's a seasonal type of job, you're looking not only at attracting workers, but retaining workers. Once you get workers and train them, and you want to be able to keep them, right?
Correct. And that's one of the things that's in this bill that's helpful is that the year-round visas that dairy farmers will be able to use to hire workers are going to be three-year visas. And that's something that we've pushed for in the past in a variety of different negotiations to have some certainty around the amount of time the workers can be here. So that goes to that point, actually.
So we'll see what happens. Again, as I said earlier, I thought when I saw the bipartisan support for it, I thought, well, maybe finally, and hopefully this will be the case, that it can be worked through. But obviously things need to be addressed and tweaked along the way. Do you think there's a good framework, a good atmosphere of discussion that let's not scrap the whole thing, let's just make this thing work this time?
I think that's right. And I think you even heard comments from some of the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee that were very interested in getting this done and getting something done on this, even if they weren't voting for this bill. You know, Ranking Member Collins, as you mentioned earlier, is the lead Republican on the committee, and I think his phrasing was something to the effect of, you know, I'm a no on this, but I'm a soft no, you know, just given that they want to see some elements of the bill changed. I think there's an acknowledgement on all parts that something has to be done here, which is better than being in a situation where people don't even agree on the premise of we have a problem that we have to solve.
Yep. All right, Paul, thanks for the update.
No problem. Happy to do it.
All right. Good to talk with you again. Thank you very much. Paul Blyberg, he is Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. All right. Up next, we're going to talk trade. Is the China deal pushed further back, or is there still a chance of getting done sometime soon? What is the latest with USMCA? And some good news on the U.S.-Japan deal. It's been approved in Japan. We'll talk about that and more with Dave Salmonson with the American Farm Bureau Federation next on AOA.